Hey, Matt Starnsword here. Thrilled about this next podcast recorded at Con Carolinas 2018 with author Shannon McGuire. She was the author guest of honor, and she's also won a Hugo, a Nebula Award. And find out what I did to possibly make her threaten to stab me. Not my finest hour. And also shout out to Nerd Bliss Podcast for bringing the mobile studio that they have. Great recording with them and great collaborating with them. So check out the podcast. Tell us what you think. Thanks.
Prepare to receive away team.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery Podcast on the road.
So we are here this morning with Sean McGuire. Thank you so much. We realize it's like before the crack of dawn, your time.
Well, it's 8 a.m. So dawn has cracked, but it hasn't quite broken.
and we thank you for joining us the third day of Con Carolinas. Mm-hmm. So how has your con been so far?
Oh, y'all are lovely. I have seen so many turtles. I saw box turtles and sliding turtles and a snapping turtle.
Are they all out at the lake?
No. We went in the car and looked for turtles on the road.
Oh, okay.
And I got a tree frog stuck to my face.
Oh my gosh.
And I found salamanders. So, you know, I'm having a lovely time.
Oh. Wow. And I heard there's kitties in the vending room this year.
There's a kitten.
They're not vending the kitties.
Well,
it's part of a rescue.
You could adopt it. So, you know. But I have Maine Coons back in Seattle, and it is cruel to bring a standard domestic cat into a house full of Maine Coons.
Yeah.
My boy cat is 28 pounds and is not overweight. He's actually a little under. And then my girl cat is only 9 months old, so she only weighs 13 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, I live with my roommate has a Maine Coon, and he's 18 years old, and he is the lord of the castle, mm-hmm. and lets you know every day.
And her roommate is more diminutive in stature, so indeed, he's her battle cat.
Yeah,
he's a battle cat.
She could ride him into battle.
So it's a little cruel to bring a standard domestic short hair into the home of these giant Smilodon beasts. It's not nice.
And they're all named Damn. when you first see one, right?
Yeah, that is what people tend to say when they see them for the first time. Thomas has an anxiety disorder that leads him to eat his hair. So we have him shaved regularly. He gets a lion cut. And then he wears toddler shirts.
Oh, wow.
For his medical health. It keeps him from over-grooming. But it turns out that when a cat tall enough to open doors greets, say, the person who has come to repair your fence at the door
wearing a shirt.
They become a tiny bit concerned that maybe you turn handymen into cats and keep them in your terrifying witch's pride.
They're like, the magic is strong in this house.
Yeah.
I am speechless with that because my mind is just went poosh.
Your neighbors are probably like, that's why the cable guy won't come to my house.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or they're like, did that cat eat a toddler? What
happened? Yeah, where's the kid?
Do you find your cat's personalities seeping into your stories at times? Are they inspirational?
So Thomas, when he gets freshly shaved, will climb up on you, flip around, and rattle his empty little scrotum at you like a maraca. And I don't tend to write that kind of book.
That's actually my meeting ritual with Joey, so that's odd. Huh?
Yeah, I heard about that.
That's why we don't have any children either, though.
No, I made sure you were fixed first.
So speaking of writing,
sorry. So I actually just got done with one of your books from your alter ego, Mira Grant, your mermaid book, which is absolutely amazing, incidentally. Was there a conscious decision to write in two different... Because I know Mira Grant kind of writes horror.
Grant writes biomedical science fiction thrillers, and Shannon McGuire, who is a real person, but I have to speak about myself in the third person for this answer to make sense. Shannon McGuire writes urban fantasy and modern fantasy, and really the decision is a marketing one. If you remember back in the 90s, Disney created Touchstone Pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they did that basically solely so that no one could ever legitimately utter the sentence, Walt Disney presents Reservoir Dogs.
Exactly.
people judge based on covers, and they judge based on names, and they set expectations based on names. So if you were to hand someone that read my urban fantasy a copy of Into the Drowning Deep with Shannon McGuire on it rather than Mira Grant, they would expect an urban fantasy and,
it's
you know, friendly, cheerful, mammalian mermaids that wanted to be a part of your world. And these are not those.
No.
No, they would like you to be a part of their diet. And so by having those two different names, we set the marketing expectations differently. And even someone who reads both of me will approach the two names differently because they understand that there's going to be different subject material.
Yeah, because for the longest time, because I read Feed as well, and for the longest time, I had no idea that was you.
Yeah, I'm surprising.
Yeah. How difficult... is it to establish those two as separate entities when you...
They're not, so...
You're right.
It's a completely open pseudonym. I am constantly surprised that people don't know. If you pick up a Mira Grant book, it says copyright Sean and McGuire on the inside information.
I don't even think I really looked.
Right.
We thought that was just like Michael Jackson buying the Beatles catalog. Like, yes.
So it hasn't been difficult at all because there hasn't been any work there. Mira Grant has a Twitter, but it's 90%. Hey, y'all know I'm not real, right?
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you. Do you ever go to conventions as Mira instead of Shannon?
Well, Mira can't really check into a hotel room because, right. Again, she doesn't exist.
Right.
I have enough trouble getting conventions to remember to put the correct spelling of my first name on a hotel reservation. I cannot imagine showing up and
Why
going,
do you think I go by Joey? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I please go in my room? No, Mira. Not until you produce ID. I don't want to sleep in the lobby. It's full of drunk people.
I am somebody. Well... not only are you somebody, but you're a highly regarded somebody.
Yes,
and we are actually very honored for you to be here. But you have received a numerous amount of awards for your book and recognition. And it's so nice to see in this age. How do you feel like today's audiences are when it comes to reading? I mean, I know we are readers here.
Yeah.
But do you find that with your audiences, do you feel like you have a good, strong range with younger people coming up that tend to be more visual and only wanting to watch movies and TV shows, or I'm not asking this question very well.
You know that YA is the fastest growing segment of our genre. Young people, regardless of how you want to define that, they're not purely visual. Good. Teen readers are smarter and more broadly read than they've ever been because the markets are finally recognizing what they want to see. And there's more diversity of subject matter and character in YA fiction than you'll get almost anywhere else in genre because you don't have a bunch of adults saying, well, no, science fiction is where the white men go.
Yeah.
Why would you want to write a science fiction novel that doesn't have the white men? I don't understand. Where are my white men? Like, I have not burned every single book published prior to 1997, okay? If I were going at your house with a flamethrower and actually destroying your childhood, this would make more sense, but it does not. Young people, which also, like, I get that probably no one in this room is under 30, but wow, does it feel weird to be saying the young people.
The young people,
You know, young people are smart. They read. They're catered to. I think the only area that we're seeing a drop-off in what young people do is that there's less, oh, shit, there's nothing for me. I guess I'll go read the Heinlein juveniles.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go read this. I guess I'll go read that because it's the only thing that is not full of topics I don't want to deal with. Or if you were a young people like I was, I don't want my mother to pick up and find out I was dealing with. So I avoided authors that wrote a lot of sex, not because I cared, but because the adults around me would care and I didn't want to cope. Heinlein juveniles are kind of super pants boring if you're not a straight white guy. You know, I tried to read them when I was 12, 13, 14, when I was in that age range, and they didn't want me there. They were absolutely not written to invite me to be a part of the adventure. Hmm. So I wound up rereading The Wizard of Oz and then reading the entire Stephen King oeuvre and skipping over the stuff that ostensibly was for young people in science fiction.
Yeah.
So now I have been on panels where people are like, oh, young people today, they don't read science fiction. Well, why do you say that? Because I talked to my nephew and he hasn't read Heinlein. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Has he read Sarah Rhys Brennan and Catherine Valenti and, Holly Black? And, he's read all of those. So he's read a huge amount of science fiction. It's just not boring.
It's not the science fiction you read.
It's not the science fiction
you
read.
And that's perfectly okay. But, going back, I remember as a kid, I ran through all the books in the library that appealed to me. And then for fourth grade, I read 1984. Mm-hmm. And my teacher was like, you can't read that. And I was like, why not? I don't have any more books to read. What do you want me to do?
And but we're used to, I mean, when I was a kid, there was one shelf with science fiction in the mm-hmm. library. Now you go into a bookstore and there's an entire section of just young adults.
Right.
Exactly. And it's almost all genre fiction.
Mm-hmm. And it's really good stuff.
It's, you know, the young adult stuff when I was a kid was the Babysitter Club, which bored the shit out of me because, I mean, I'm like, God. I don't read this stuff. Right. I, you know, so I always just defaulted back to my Tolkien.
And there's a thing called the crab bucket syndrome, where if you fill a bucket with crabs and you watch, one crab will inevitably reach the lip and try to get out, and the other crabs will reach out and pull them back down.
Yeah.
And I try to remember that every time I want to get on the young people for not doing exactly what I did at their age. Yeah, I read Stephen King at the age of 9. That probably fucked me up a little bit in ways that I don't necessarily recognize, because there was nothing that was closer to my age range that was available to me. Yeah, a lot of the YA genre stuff is probably still a little too old for a 9-year-old, but it's less too old.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a presidential candidate kicking a dog to death on page 2.
Exactly. And I think that's part of, you know, well, it's what made me who I am, is that I read way above my age range because there was really nothing mm-hmm. for my age range.
So maybe the next generation of genre fans are going to be a little less in need of therapy than we were.
That's true.
Yeah, no, I think the biggest benefit for me was that because I read so much as a kid, my mom definitely couldn't keep up
with how much you were reading.
So she couldn't pre-read it for me, so I got to learn a lot more that she would have never explained to me.
Yeah,
because, you know, trying to keep you in that bottle. So I definitely think that's there. So I am encouraged to hear you say that, because I definitely think that reading is the fundamental thing that's going to keep us free as long as it is, because you have that ability to go out and find different mindsets and be able to examine them and compare them.
So. And even as an adult, I mean, there are some times when I'll go back and I'll read Holly Black because she's a damn good writer.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, quite frankly, sometimes the YA is such a higher level of fiction than what is out there for adults because of the white man syndrome. So I'm definitely all about that. So if somebody was to come to your work for the first time, what book do you suggest they start with?
It depends entirely on the person. I mean, folks like to ask that question like there's one conclusive reply.
No.
But what do you like to read? What have you already read? What are you completely tired of? What are you not in a position to enjoy? If you like urban fantasy, my first urban fantasy was Rosemary and Rue. If you like urban fantasy but hate fairies, then the first urban fantasy in my non-fairy series is Discount Armageddon. If you like biomedical science fiction thrillers, Feed was Mira Grant's first book. If you enjoy the work of Michael Crichton but hate all the misogyny, anti-science bias, and plagiarism, Into the Drowning Deep is my most recent book there.
Well said.
You know, if you are a fan of young adult fiction, portal fantasy, Feeding My Cats, Every Heart a Doorway is been quite well received. I mean, it's such a personal answer.
And I know that, but I figured you would do exactly what you did, which is give some great titles for people to reach out and start with.
I love Star Wars, and I have not read your novella, I guess it is, but The Wine and Dreams.
Yeah, The Wine and Dreams. That's in the Canto Bight anthology.
Cool.
Which was great. I really enjoyed doing it. I freely admit that I did it mostly because they asked me, and I'm very easy when it comes to, hey, I'll give you money to do a thing. Really?
I guess.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
But Disney owns Lucasfilm,
right?
And Disney also owns Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
And I really, 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 really wanted to write the X-Men. So anything I could do to show Disney that I'm a team player who follows the rules. It's like, everyone wants to be the Maverick. He's the Maverick cop that doesn't play by the rules. Yeah, I'm the team player who does exactly what you ask me. Pay me. Hi.
I like the way you rebel, yes.
Yeah.
We're all running on empty here, I think.
You're doing amazing.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, I wish I had your mind capability this early in the morning. And you're 3 hours
ahead. I am. I'm 3 hours ahead. I'm 3 hours behind you. I want to be in bed so badly.
So what's your next big work that you're working on currently? And what's the book that, well, we know X-Men. That's definitely where you want. Mm. That's on your bucket list. What else is on your bucket list?
I have a question for that. So what is your dream team if they said, okay, here's X-Men.
If
you have the full choice.
Absolutely everyone is alive. No one has anyone locked down right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would put together a team consisting of Scott Summers, Emma Frost, The Stepford Cuckoos, Blink, Surge, Rock Slide, and Prodigy.
Interesting.
I'm willing to swap out Prodigy for Cypher, but only if he can have a taser.
Ah.
I do love Boom Boom. I love Boom Boom very much. She's one of my favorites, but the Stepford Cuckoos means that I already have three identical blondes, all of whom look basically like Emma, and I think that saying, hey, so I have a team consisting of five virtually identical blonde women would be a little unkind to my artist.
That would be, yeah.
I like the cut, though, usually, because it usually is like the same, like, five.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine and more Wolverine.
Right, right.
You actually can now put together a team entirely of Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because you have Logan, you have his two sons, James and Dawkins, I believe. You have Laura, and then you have Laura's clone, who's currently going by the name Honey Badger. So you could have a five-man team consisting functionally entirely of Wolverine.
You need to write that.
No,
she doesn't.
I really, really don't.
I like your lineup better.
Oh, wow. So what is next on store for Shauna McGuire, though? What book is coming up, or can you say?
So there's a re-release of Sparrow Hill Road, which actually comes out on Tuesday. It's got some new material and a gorgeous new cover.
Oh.
And then next month in July, the sequel comes out, which is The Girl in the Green Silk Gown. And I'm super excited about that because I love Rose Marshall so much. And it's been a little while since I got to go and play with her. And that will be coming out the Tuesday before San Diego Comic Con.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
And is that your next appearance? Are you at San Diego Comic Con?
I am. I've been at San Diego Comic Con every year since I was 16.
Oh, wow.
Because it's in California. I lived there for a long time. It's functionally a home convention for me. And at this point, I'm afraid to stop going because if I lose the momentum, I will realize it is a nightmare hellscape.
Yeah. I realized that was Dragon Con last year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I love San Diego, I do, but I don't think anyone who's ever been there will pretend it's not a nightmare hellscape. Like, you walk into it and go, oh dear God, this is a giant temporary geek city, and everyone here would crush me to death for a better spot in line at Starbucks.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
That's so scary.
Yeah.
So what other conventions are you doing this year where people may go and see you and admire
the
your...
The best way to find that out, says the girl for whom it is currently 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning, is to go to www.seanandmcguire.com, where the appearances sidebar on the front page is continually updated and accurate.
That's amazing.
I know,
it's
right?
Like only if there was a virtual place to find more about you.
There's this thing I heard of. It's called a Google. And it answers questions, but it's really rude of me to say, why don't you Google that? but no, seriously, I write things down so I don't have to remember them. I externalize a lot of my brain. I'm pretty sure my next convention is the American Library Association convention in New Orleans, but... Mm. I could be wrong. I don't really know.
Look on the website.
And since we did discuss that, you know, sometimes it's a hard time for conventions to get your name correctly. When we go to Shauna McGuire, we may want to make sure that we know how to spell it.
Please go to S as in Sam, E as in egg,
You're
A
awesome.
As in apple, N as in Nancy, A as in apple, N as in Nancy, M as in Mary, C as in cage, G as in giraffe, U as in unicorn, I as in ice, R as in rabbit, E as in extinction, .com.
Okay, I got the S. What's the next one?
I just met you, but I will stop.
I should not have sat right next to her. Okay.
Sean, you are an absolute delight, and we thank you so much for taking some time to be with us this morning. Please go check out her work. Please also go check out her counterpart, which is also on the same website.
Yes.
Go see her in person.
Yes.
And
I'm usually a lot more awake than this, I promise.
And buy her stuff, damn it, because only way to sustain good reading material is to support the authors we love. Well, so please do that.
Also, when you buy my books, you feed my cats. And again, I would like to really stress the part where my larger cat is 28 pounds.
Yes. And he wears shirts. Come on, people.
We don't want him to really start eating toddlers.
Yeah. So yes. And if you go to my Twitter feed, you will see so many pictures of my adorable cats. And then you can really feel like you have made a good investment.
And maybe if you buy her lots of her stuff, she will not stab my husband. So please.
Oh, no. That's happening.
And Marvel, please hire her to write X-Men.
Oh, my first X-Men comes out on August 1st.
What?
Yay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So you've achieved your goal then.
Well, I'm writing the X-Men Gold Annual #2. So I don't have a title yet. I just have an issue. issue.
That's the perfect way in, though, with
yes,
the annuals.
You can pre-order X-Men Gold Annual Number 2 at your friendly local comic book store. Please buy 12.
Yes.
We will. Wow. We will. We will give one away at Geek Gala in
Yay!
Your honor.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Shannon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.